First of all, Genesis chapter 1, which has been the bedrock of what we said in the last few weeks. The book of Genesis chapter 1. It says in the beginning, verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Now, one expression I've already explained here, let me just dismiss that before we get back there, is what God meant when he said the light was good. I said that the Bible says that the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Now, please notice something. I'll explain that for a few minutes. When God said that the thing was good, it was because he was comparing. Are you getting my point? That is, when God said, this one is good, he was comparing to something that he had in his heart. That is, the Spirit of God was hovering, that was the alternate rendering in New American Standard that I use, over the surface of the waters. I said that the spiritual significance of that is that God was, let me use the word, meditating. He was incubating. God was moving. And this is the way it works. Inside his heart, pictures were being properly arranged. Things were being properly developed. I said something, this was our radio broadcast, I think, in which I said that this is the way life is. You cannot have a vision until you have a problem confronting you. This is a fact about life. You cannot have a vision in life until there is a problem that you have identified. Are you following my point? That tells me simply that that is how God designed life to be. You are designed to introduce a solution. You are designed in life to bring to birth a problem-solving, all right, arrangement that God already created in the heavens. And that's the way it is. Like we said, politicians don't campaign except on problems. You don't ever see a politician campaign and is using any other thing as a campaign statement apart from problem-solving issues. A few days ago, I saw the Republican debate that CNN organized for American presidency election is coming up in less than a year. So everything's already, you know, heating up towards that. What are the issues? When people want to talk again, what they talk about is what? Iraqi war, terrorism, global warming, all right, immigration, problems they are facing, crime control. That's the way life is. You only have a vision based upon problems that exist. Are you getting my point? All right, that's just the way it works. So when God saw the problem, the earth was formless and it was void. What he was doing was creating in his heart exactly what he wanted to do. Now, you know, last time I said that I was talking about, that our last recorded message was on attaining authority and the exercise of authority. Actually, what I'm talking about today is more on that exercise of authority or the releasing of faith or the releasing of the power of faith. That's, you choose any title that suits you, what I'm going to talk about today. Because the first thing you will notice, which I'm going to emphasize, is that when God spoke, my emphasis today is on that word speak. And God said. Because it's so important that you understand that God wasn't speaking primarily just to get result, but God was speaking out of an overflow. Are you getting my point? Let me explain what I'm going to say. By the time God began to speak, you know, remember I said something earlier, that God did not speak in English. You know that. As a matter of fact, he did not speak Hebrew. Which language did he speak? We have no idea. But we know that he expressed something which Moses wrote down as what? God spoke. Now, what exactly he said in the words that he says, we don't know. What's important is what Jesus said in John chapter 6. He said, the flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that gives life and the words that I have spoken. All right? He said, they contain a spiritual substance that impart life or create effect wherever they go. That is, what was important is the spirit that was contained in the thing that God said. And please notice this. You cannot have a spirit inside something you have not incubated upon. It is not possible. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? Let me explain what I'm saying. You cannot see sickness, all right, and speak to sickness except you have already incubated the word of divine health and it will hear you. Now, what am I trying to say here? That is, Jesus said that if you can believe, you know, that's where we started from. I am saying that you cannot believe until you have thought about. Do you follow my point? Let me explain what I'm really, give this as an illustration. When Peter was on the waters, listen to this. Peter said, if it is you, bid me to come. The interesting part was that his faith was strong enough to obey the words of Jesus. Why? Because he was used to the presence of Jesus Christ. He was used to the power in his words. That was why as soon as he took his eyes away from Jesus Christ, he sank. Oh, please, are you getting what I'm saying here? He was used. That's why people will go for crusades. And a lot of Christians these days, that's just their problem. They are so hopelessly dependent upon their man of God that it is, I mean, Jesus Christ is ashamed. Now, get what I'm going to say here. No, listen. The man wants to travel until his pastor says, go, it will be well with you. He can't take off from his house. Now, get what I'm going to say. He wants to do a business. Until the pastor says it is good, he can't. He doesn't cross his mind that he can make a decision until his man of God has said something. If he's sick, he will travel, let's assume he goes to Redeem as an example. He will travel all the way to Redemption Camp to go and get healed, all right, of his sickness. Do you know why? Because his faith is in the person that he's seen. As soon as he takes his eyes away, he will sink. Are you getting my point? But Jesus wasn't looking at anything like that. What happened was that he had contemplated the principles of life. He understood his position with God. He understood, oh God, if you have, there's one expression they use in Yoruba land, they will tell you that, if you understand the name that the leaf is called and you speak to it, it will answer you. That is, all of us know it is leaf. But the man said that, look, tell it its proper name. You talk to it, it will get up. Now, we used to hear those things as children. We thought they were just poetic statements. No, they are facts of life. Jesus understood the name that water was called. And when he spoke to water, water responded. Are you getting my principle here? So, despite the fact that the wave was jumping, things were going upside down, because in his heart, he already had contemplated. Are you getting the point I'm going to make here? And I'm going to explain that one today. So, when God spoke, get my point, it wasn't because he was trying to get results, but he was speaking out of what? An overflow. That's why it's irrelevant whether he spoke English or he spoke Hebrew. Like the first day I gave this expression, I think I was teaching in church, one of those cities I said people should try and get. I said that maybe all God said was, now, Moses wrote that down as what? Let there be light. Are you getting my point? Meanwhile, God just, after incubating things, the overflow in his heart was what was expressed physically. Now listen to this. For the creation, mankind that God made afterwards, the only way he can express that primarily is by what? Words. That's why Jesus said, out of what? The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is the problem with confession when Christians want to practice it. They want to speak what does not fill the heart. Don't forget this thing. The words themselves, Jesus said, they profit nothing. But what? It is the spirit that gives life. Do you understand what I'm going to say here? That is, you must first generate the spiritual energy inside you before your words can make any meaning. That's why God, the Spirit of God first was hovering over the surface of the deep, over the surface of the waters. He was going around seeing the problems. He had contemplated everything and understood the solution that he desired for it. Then the thing just flowed out of him and Moses wrote it down and God said. Are you getting the point I'm going to make here? So when he spoke like that, what came out actually was just a release of the spirit he had generated. Listen, any area in life, listen, this is the way it works. Any area in life where you will have effect, that is just the principle. It must be something you have thought about all the time. Now, it's not I'm putting two and two together and understanding many of these spiritual principles. For example, the Bible says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I've given this to you as an example before. People, sometimes I get letters. People I don't know. Sometimes I even get strange phone calls. Like one of the American and I were answering the other day. You don't know how the person got your number. But the person wants to talk to Pastor Banky. And then what is it? He said, pray for me, I have problems. Now, this is the interesting part. Now, maybe if the person has faith strong enough, and if I prayed for him, say, okay, come, let me pray. His faith, like I said earlier, about people depending on the man of God, his faith might be strong enough to get results. Are you getting my point? But if you expect him to go home and then I will pray and he will get solutions to his problem, he's making a mistake. Do you know why? I don't know the guy talking. Whether he's tall or short or dark or fair or what, whether he's lying or telling the truth. Do you understand my point? You know, there are people, one day, a woman came up to me. I finished preaching somewhere, and along the line, I talked about people being bewitched. And she came and said, she prayed for her. I said, what's the issue? She said that she thinks her husband is bewitched. So first of all, I said, who all gave you the impression that your husband is bewitched? In my mind, are you sure you're not the witch? No, no, God is my witness. That was what came to my heart. I said, are you sure that, like, the man may be, maybe you are the witch. You know, hear my voice. So I asked, what gave you the impression your husband is bewitched? And she began to talk and talk and talk. And I couldn't say more. I didn't know enough. But in my mind, if you want me to break the bewitching power over your husband, forget it. Because for one reason or the other, I was not persuaded that the man was bewitched. I felt that maybe you are the one driving him away. Are you getting the point I'm going to make here? One day in church, people came forth for prayer, and one young guy, a young man came up to me and said, I should pray for his brother. I said, what's the problem with your brother? He said, the guy is so resistant to the gospel. I don't know why my mind just went there. I said, are you sure you're not the one resisting him to the gospel? I don't know. I just asked the guy simply, are you sure you're not the problem? He said that they're always clashing. I said, wait, come, I should pray about him. You. Are you sure you're not the one that has a problem in this situation? No, I asked him simply. Because it's easy to join hands and say, sure, brother, beware. Listen, meanwhile, the sick man is the one right in front of you. I asked the guy simply, please, are you sure you are not the one I should be praying about? He now said, no, of course, what did you expect? He said no. And he said some things. Well, I can't even remember the details, but why I brought up that issue is that that's why it's so difficult, because I can't really understand his problems. Do you understand my point? But if somebody who is close to you, all right, has an issue, even without telling you, pray for me. Do you follow? You go into your heart, because the thing is that your spirit, your heart dwells upon that person's problems. I remember one particular night, at 3 a.m., there about 2, 3 a.m., a friend called and said that the couple, they are our friends, all right, people I know very well and I love dearly. Are you getting my point? So I look at my phone, you know, your phone ringing at 3 a.m., nobody, if it's an international call, you say, okay, maybe this guy forgot that it's 3 a.m. in Nigeria. Right? It's a local call, you know, this person is 3 a.m. in your house also. Are you getting me? And the person said that, and I felt the lady was trying to be cool, you know, slow down as much as possible to talk. What is the problem? Their child was not feeling well, so they wanted me to pray. This is not normal, not feeling well. 3 a.m., for goodness sake. I've never gotten that kind of phone call from those quarters before. So I prayed on the phone there and then for a few minutes, and then good enough, the next morning they called and said, the guy is very, very well. That in fact, when he was there and said, let's go to the hospital, they said, no, there's no need that. I've been prayed for. I am fine. And the guy was really fine. Now, this is the point I want you to understand. When I hung up the phone, my wife said, who is that? I said, so and so person. And that was the last thing I said to her. I began to pray. I prayed so intensely. That is, I was so ill myself until I became relieved before I went back to sleep. Are you getting my point? Why? Because there are people I know. They thought that the 2 minutes prayer I said on the phone was all I said. Maybe a 45-second prayer. But the truth was that I don't know how long I prayed after the phone was off. I can't give it, but for certain reasons, no. My heart just couldn't be at peace until that chap was well. There are people I know. If somebody calls from somewhere, hey, Pastor Banky, we listen to you on radio every day. Please pray for us. All right. Is your hand up? God bless them. God be with you. Amen. Bye-bye. As soon as you hang up the phone, I forget you. Now, just for those who may want a balance of the situation, there are situations in which the Spirit of God, all right, uses your mouth to pray. Are you getting my point? And imposes a burden upon you that doesn't belong to you, that even you might not be able to understand. Are you getting my point? I just want to bring a balance to the situation. So that occurs, but those are not things you can work up. Are you getting my point? They are not things you can work up. You know, remember the explanation, the illustration I gave last time? It's also on that CD that, listen, Jesus didn't stay up all night. A lot of us think he was staying up all night out of discipline. That Jesus used to love to pray all night. You know, therefore, he just said, this night I shouldn't sleep. Let me go and pray. The fact is that Jesus used to pray all night because the thing was upon him to pray all night. Sometimes physically, he's feeling the infirmities of the people that he's ministering to. And listen, you too, if you get migraine, you know, go sleep. Do you follow my point? And the same manner, but he not being the one that is sick, but bearing the infirmities of other people, he will stay up all night and then he will pray. What's happening again is that, let me just use this expression, he's charging up his spirit for the ministration that will soon come. Are you getting my point? And how did he do that? By praying, by bearing the infirmities of the people. You are following what I'm going to say here. So let's just sit down on the thing we are saying. So when God said, let there be light, that's actually why I'm saying all of this. It was not just a statement trying to get results. It was what? An overflow of what was filling his heart. And I'm going to talk about this issue of that overflow in a moment, because it's so important. Because until, you know, the Bible says that when the clouds are full, all right, that is when they pour forth rain, all right, upon the earth. It's not just about talking, all right, but talking out of a heart that is full. That's what the Bible calls double-mindedness. Your heart is thinking one thing, but you're talking another, because it's possible to learn the talk. Are you getting my point? You come to church, you learn the talk. They say, how is it? He said, it is well. How's everything? Believe me, God is in control. Really, it's just a Christian way of answering. You know, are you getting my point? That is, the person really is not fine. But the answer to the question, how are you, is what? Fine. Even if his head is off, all right? And he says, well, how are you? He first answers you, fine. I say, please, can you help me? What's the problem? My head is off. But I just asked you just now, how are you? And you said everything is what? Fine. That is, you can say what your heart really has not incubated, and that really doesn't get results. Do you follow the point I'm making? So with God, the Spirit of God first hovered upon the surface of the waters before he said. By the time he was saying, his heart was full. And the word that came forth, or the expression, which we're going to see, because there are different ways you express things. The expression that came out was actually a release of the Spirit that had been built up in his heart. What am I saying? You will speak words, they will come to pass just as you have said them. All right? But not just because you said, but because what? Your heart had already... Now, an illustration just came to my mind. Remember when Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus? Do you understand? He said, Father, I thank you because you have what? You have heard me. And in fact, you hear me always. What does that tell you? Before he raised Lazarus up, he had discussed some things with the Father. It wasn't just a matter of, it's not a rogue kind of authority. Just go and look. Who's dead there? Who's dead? Who's dead? Who's dead there? And then somebody just says, okay, you dead man, get up. No, they told him Lazarus was sick. And at the point in time, he knew Lazarus had died. And he spoke to the Father about Lazarus getting up again from the dead. And when the Father said, okay, he now proceeded to the tomb of Lazarus to go and raise Lazarus up according to the answer, all right, of his intercession before the Father. Now, normally, he wouldn't talk to anybody about it. In fact, he said he only did that at that point to let the people know the relationship he had with the Father. You are following the point I'm making here. That is, when he healed the man who had leprosy, he probably has had discussion all night, all right, with the Father. Are you getting my point? These are things that for a long time I used to pray that, God, what did Jesus used to pray about all night? Because we know one thing for sure. He wasn't praying about what he would eat, what he would drink, and what he would wear. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? In fact, I like one thing somebody said once, that, do you know why Peter, James, and John and the other disciples couldn't pray for 1 hour? He said, it's not their fault that Jesus only taught them the Lord's Prayer. So... when they say, pray with me for 1 hour, I said, no problem. Peter, join your hand. James, all of you. The Lord has gone further. Thomas, where are you? Put your hand there. Everybody. The only person missing, Judas, don't worry. We'll catch him later. Let us pray. John, start. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as you forgive us. Now, 1 minute. The thing don't finish. Say, John, that was too fast. Let's start again. Our Father. So, Peter will just say that. I think I can say he's sitting down. Of course, after a short while, the guy begins to feel sleepy. Our Father. Oh, what in heaven? It was one brother that told me that. I knew Jesus definitely wasn't praying that all night. Are you getting my point? And for a long time, I used to wonder, what was it that he used to pray about all night? And I know one thing for sure. Everything now, there's an interesting part about the body of Christ. There's now division of labor. There are times people go out to execute, all right, what other people have prayed about. Jesus said like this, other men labored, then you entered into, all right, their labors. You know, somebody can prepare a harvest and you go and reap it. But this is the principle. Before the results, the words begin to have, or before you find words that have potency, it is because the heart had indicted, that's the word, a matter. It has sat upon something. And if you are, maybe you are an engineer or you are a businessman, you will not just wake up one morning and say, okay, yes, I'm going to take over sugar from Dangote. It doesn't work like that. Do you follow my point? Before then, you probably have traded in salt. Before then, you have considered the trade in sugar. You have seen the way it works. Before then, you have seen the things that are unjust in the taxes. Do you get my point? You have seen things you want to correct. Remember what I said earlier? You can't have a vision if there is no problem. Where the Spirit of God actually releases substance, grace, power towards you is when you are incubating on how to solve a problem. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Now, please, I don't want to sit on that one forever. I'm finding it so hard to drag myself away from that. So, please, that is the emphasis there. God spoke out of what he had what? Contemplated, what he had meditated. Now, I said earlier that I'm talking today specifically about that issue of words. Now, let's read another scripture, and it will help us. Mark chapter 11, where we started this whole thing from. Jesus cursed a tree, and in verse 21, Peter said to him, look, the tree you cursed has withered. The Bible says, from the root upwards, it withered. And the answer that Jesus gave is, you must have faith in God. And we started talking about the law of faith. That is, it's a law. If you do what it requires, you will definitely get the result. He said in 23, truly I say to you, Jesus was now saying, whoever says to this mountain, please notice this word, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Now, please notice this. Let me go by it again. Jesus said this is the principle of faith in God. You will say to this mountain, not doubting in your heart. And whatever you say to the mountain, if you believe that it will happen, it will most certainly happen. He said, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe you have received them, and they will be granted you. Now, two things I want you to understand here is that Jesus was saying that, one, there is a place for prayer in faith. Do you understand what I'm going to say? I'm not going to go over that again. And then second, because you see, he was saying, if you say to this mountain, be removed. And I said, therefore I say to you, I want to understand something. There was a time they wanted to cast out demons from one young boy. And Jesus said that, they asked him, why could we not cast it out? Please understand something. Jesus said, because of what? Your unbelief. Do you understand? He now said, nevertheless, this type does not go out but by if you have a King James, he said by fasting and prayer. Most of the Bible just say, but by prayer. Now, this is what I want you to understand here. Again, that has been a source of confusion for people for a very long time. That you said, people say that there are certain demons that don't go out except by prayer. But Jesus didn't say that's why it didn't go out. They said, why didn't it go out? Why could we not cast it out? He said it was what? Because of your unbelief. Now, I've said something to us before, and I want to repeat it again. Faith is not something you wake up one day and decide to have. Let me explain. You cannot, let's say now, they finished trying, and Jesus was not around. So they say, John, where's the phone? He gets the phone. He said, Jesus is conducting a crusade in Abba. So they phone him. He said, Lord, we have a problem here. Are you getting what I'm saying? And he said, what's the problem? There's this 12-year-old boy. He's had this problem. The father brought him, and we've been praying for the last 1 hour. Actually, we've not been praying. We've been shouting, and the demon hasn't gone. And Jesus says, okay, it's because of your unbelief. And so Peter says, okay, thank you very much. He hangs up. He says, John, you know what we're going to do? Now we are going to believe. We did not believe before. Do you understand? Listen, it doesn't work like that. You don't just make up your mind 1 minute to believe. Those things only happen if you were in a position of believing, but you were doing something wrong. Are you getting my point? And again, that thing is pointed out to you. So you revert back to the position of faith. Now, what I'm going to say is this. Jesus couldn't do it like that. Say, okay, you didn't believe. Now, go and believe. Listen, it was because of their unbelief. The same words they spoke, Jesus spoke. All right? He will rebuild this. They saw him do it before. Let me illustrate it again so that you understand what I'm saying perfectly. I just remember something I'm going to school. There's this spring they use for bodybuilding. You know, it develops the back of your arms and your upper chest, guys. You know, you bend it. I don't know the name. You bend it like this. Now, once when we were in school, I remember this thing just came back to my mind. Now, there was one we used to, you know, work out with guys, you understand, in the hostel. So, one of my friends, the guy is very good, very, very strong, upper body, very, very strong. So, he will put his two hands close to the edge of the spring. That's the hardest way to do it. Now, without the thing coming close to it, but he just stretch out his hand like that and bend the thing. Now, it's real hard. It's real hard. Really hard. Okay? Now, if I wasn't as strong as he was, if I wanted to do that, I had to bring it close to my body and balance it with my body, you know, so that I can concentrate my energy on bending it. We used to do things as bad as toss to the back, bend it behind. So once we're outside the hostel and, you know, we're just walking out, just playing, guys. And there was this particular chap, still remember him very well. Now, he had never tried it. That was his first time on that equipment. So he came, grabbed it at the end, the softest and easiest part, and tried to bend the thing, and that stuff wouldn't budge. He would look at me. I didn't look as big as he was. My friend even looked leaner. He had a better lean body mass. All right? Yeah, the guy would just pick the thing up again. Bam! And that's it. And this thing is real iron. I mean, really strong. So this is why I'm telling the story. This guy will leave the arena, go out, then watch these small-bodied guys doing this stuff, you know. So I remember one particular time he came back, you know, angry. Like, how can these guys do it and I can't? So we talked about to him. And we knew one trick he didn't know. Not a trick, a truth. Once you can't do it, you can't do it. If you try it once, twice, the third time is more difficult. You are getting weak. You come back. So we knew that we knew this guy was just raking. So we gave it to him. Of course, he almost injured himself. Finally, he left. He said, there's a technique you guys are not telling me. And I told him simply, there's no technique. It's simply brute strength. You either have that strength or you don't have it. Now, why did we look leaner than him and he couldn't do it? Because the relevant muscles that could handle that, we had it. We may not have the general muscles. Do you understand? We may not have had the general one. But the one you needed for that particular exercise, being the thing we use all the time, they were well toned up, they were well developed. Do you get the point? Now, he thought that just by looking and getting angry, you can muster up the energy. But the fact is that it doesn't work like that. In fact, he got weaker. His faith became weaker as he tried and he failed. Let's get back to faith. That's how faith is. It's either you have it or you don't have it. It's not at the point that you need it that you will get angry and pull it down from heaven. No, you build up the faith to that point, and then when you need it, you use it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? So when Jesus told those guys, you couldn't do it because of your unbelief, the fact was that at that point, they were in unbelief, and there was nothing they could do about unbelief immediately. So this is how God helps us. The presence of Jesus just said, okay, bring him to me. And then he settled the matter. Are you getting my point? And he told them it was because of your unbelief. Now, next statement. Nevertheless, this type does not go out but by prayer. Now, you now say that, all right, but you said it's because of your unbelief. Now, there are two ways people have interpreted that scripture, and I want you to notice this. And both of them will learn something from it, and I believe they are both correct. One, this type of evil spirit does not go out but by prayer. Listen, the fact is that, I said earlier, faith is built up before that point. Are you getting my point? And that Jesus used to charge up his spirit. Let me just put it like this. I believe it was actually a difficult demon. Are you following my point? But it's still cast out by faith. The only difference is that you build up your faith before that time, and that faith is built up where? In the position, in the place of prayer, in the place of hearing the word of God, in the place of hearing God communicate things to you directly. Do you understand what I'm going to say here? That it's not as if you just get down and say, look, this demon, I have had enough of you. Now, you are going to go. Listen, if you couldn't kick him out the first time, you better have gathered some extra energy before the return battle. Do you understand my point? Now, this is second interpretation. They said that, okay, what couldn't go out but by prayer? That it was the unbelief that could not go out but by prayer. Again, we are back to the same thing. Shebi, it is unbelief concerning that spirit. Is that not so? It comes to the same thing. Now, what am I trying to explain here? That you see, Jesus was teaching the disciples, Mark chapter 11, that before he said that, remember he was trying to explain the issue of how this the fig tree died. Can you remember that? Now, so he was now explaining to them that before you shout at fig trees, are you following my point? Before you go around shouting at things in life and your faith gets weakened because things are not responding to you, this is the way it works. First, there's a matter of praying and God granting you something in prayer because of the faith with which you approach God. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? And then, this is the second step. Once God has granted you something in prayer, then you do what? You utter them. Do you understand what I'm going to say? You know, interesting enough, these things work a lot of times unconsciously. It's just a principle of life. I was into one of these CDs by Kenneth Hagin that I recommended recently. And then, you know, I was just listening to it and this thing just clicked again. The woman with the issue of blood. The Bible said that, for she said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, then I shall be made whole. What did she do? She said. That is, he was saying that those words represented her faith speaking. Please notice something. She didn't go anywhere trying to impress anybody. Do you get the point I'm making here? She wasn't trying to impress anybody. Somebody would just say, where are you going? I heard Jesus has come. Ah, do you think you can see him? He says, it's not necessary. If I can just touch. Now, that's, she's beginning to declare out of what? The fullness of what was in her heart. Yeah, are you getting my point here? That is this how the tongue works. It is not that we just speak. No. It is that we utter what our hearts are already full of. Please, are you getting my point? That is, you don't just get up and say, ah, it is well, it is well, it is well. It's having contemplated all the problems and understood that God is bigger than all my problems. So they say, what do you think? Say, I think it is well. Do you get the point I'm making? It's not as if I'm just trying to say, it is well, it is well, it is well. Believing that if I say it is well enough, it will become well. No, 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 no. It doesn't work like that. Paul said there is what they call a clanging cymbals and let me use our own words, empty drums. Do you understand? And the empty ones tend to make what? Are you getting the point I'm making? You know, I said this again. Let me say it to you again. Now, it's not a bad thing to confess something to yourself again and again. It's a good thing. But the truth is that you are trying to persuade yourself. You have not yet been fully persuaded. I'm not saying stop doing it. You are working on it. It's good. You are trying to remind yourself. You are trying to drown out maybe the contrary evidence. But the fact is that you are not yet fully persuaded. When you are fully persuaded, the words come out of you spontaneously. Do you follow my point? They come out how? Spontaneously. That is, the words of faith come out of a persuasion in the heart. It's not something you try and muster up to impress somebody. Please, get that point very clear. I hope you're following it. But having had that full persuasion in your heart, then you still must utter those words because, listen, if the thing is in the heart abundantly, the heart will most certainly speak of it. Are you getting my point? No, I've listened to Kenneth Hagin a lot. You know, I quote him a lot. He'll tell you that people say that, oh, well, I don't have to make so much noise about praising God. You know, you can just praise God in my heart. God knows that the praise is inside my heart. He said if he knew the people well enough, he would tell them that God also knows that you are lying about it. That is, if praise is indeed inside your heart, we will most certainly notice it on the surface. Are you getting my point? I told you those days, when I first met my wife, she thought that I had a problem. And when I look back now, I think even me would have thought the guy had a problem. No, when I look back. Because, now, really, I remember one of my colleagues, Dr. Daramola, we worked in the same office, she's a lady, and then one day we're walking on the road. I remember where we're walking. Then we're going from our office to another part of the hospital. Just led from one thing to the other, and we're talking about marriage matters, young men, young women. She's a married woman, married shortly after we started the residency program. So, but we used to be in the same office, so we used to just a lot. Something brought up an issue. I told her, I said, all these young women, I don't know for them. I said, listen, if they only had open eyes, they would be begging to marry me. Not for this interview. I know, I wasn't even joking. We're just talking matter of fact. She just looked at me like, you're not all right. Like, you have come again. I got her, Dr. D. I said, look, Dr. D, look, get the point. I know what I am saying. I said, look, current situations don't mean anything. I said, if you know where we are going in life, she just looked like, I've changed the topic. You have started again. I remember once I walked into a typing pool. I work in the department where we issue our reports, you know, pathology department. So I walked into the typing pool. I was always so, you know, exuberant, really, playing with everybody. So there was something, maybe they remarked on my tie or my shirt or something, or that you're looking very good. And I stopped. I mean, older ladies, not young children, you know, all right? So I said, oh, you think so? He said, yes. I said, see, that shows you that I'm about to get married, because very soon I'm going to catch one young woman with this kind of appearance. One of them said, go, you. It is not any appearance. It is this, your mouth. Now, do you follow my point? I didn't even notice that even they had noticed. This is the interesting part. I was saying exactly what I believed. I sit down sometimes now and I look back. I say, my God, any sane young woman should have thought I was out of order. But you know the interesting part? Let me just tell you something. There were a number of messages I listened to then. Supernatural Living Series by Bishop David Oyedepo. Miles Monroe, understanding what they call the best of Miles Monroe then. It was a collection of about 7 VHS tapes, you know. It talked in understanding purpose, motivating men to take their place in life, talking about nobody knows me. About 7 tapes, you know, I listened to all of them. Then Bishop Oyedepo had this tape he called Intoxication by the Word. All right? It was a very, very good tip. Very, very good tip. Then he had another one he called Building a Great Future for Your Life. All right? And now, those are the kind of things that I sat down. I remember I listened to Mike Murdoch's Born to Taste the Grapes. Do you understand? Now, those kind of things. Listen, there was no believer I shared those tips with that didn't get as crazy as I was. I remember one sister I saw once. She was not one of the crazy ones, but to tell you how I discussed with her, we went for a friend's wedding, another sister from our fellowship. And so we're just gisting. So I told her that, look, I will send you a set of tips. I said, when you finish listening to them, believe me, when you come out, the atmosphere will literally change color. But you know, that's how I used to feel. Then, so that if you're walking on the road, really, when I look back now, I must have really looked crazy. I really used to smile, you know, have a smile on my face. How are you? I said, life is good. If you give me money again, you know what I go and do? I buy more tapes, buy more books, get drunk as steel. Do you understand my point? Bishop said something. He was preaching from the book of Ephesians. He said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And this is what he was saying, which is a matter of fact. He said he was putting 12 things side by side. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled. Because a man who is drunk with wine is what? Filled with wine. And the man who is filled with the Spirit, therefore, can be said to be drunk. So he said, be intoxicated by the word. That is, a drunk man misbehaves. He said, a man filled with the Spirit also misbehaves. How do you get filled with the Spirit? Paul said, is by hearing with faith. That you literally become what? Drunk. Alright? Now, literally, no, there was nobody who heard those messages that did not go crazy also. I remember one man of God, he was my mate actually, age slightly senior to me, but when the same level in university. Shortly after I left school, he started a ministry in Port Harcourt, and I heard he started ministry. Once I wrote him a letter when I was 7, then when I got to Lagos and I got these tapes, I packaged 3 tapes and sent to him. Next time he came to Lagos, he came to look for me in my office. That ever since he got those tapes, ministry has not been the same. 3. 3. Just 3. trust me. And I said, ah, that's what I said, sir, I have another set. This one, Miles Morrow. So he said, are you serious? I said, no, don't worry about the money. I will send them to you. Of course, me and copyright, we don't know each other. On what materials, though? I don't respect copyright. That is why when I started preaching, I put it boldly at the beginning of my own messages. Please feel free to make copies of this tape for sharing with others. Incidentally, for those of you who don't know, for marketing amongst your friends, you're also blessed. It's not only for sharing. No? You say, Pastor Banking, I'm broke. Let me copy some of your tapes and sell. You are blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean what I'm trying to say. I'm saying, let's assume tomorrow night you go for your service. You find yourself in Kotangora or one corner of Zamfara, or you are somewhere between Cameroon and Nigeria. We don't know whether you are here or there. And I say, let me phone the maker whether he can send me CDs. Don't worry. Just look somewhere, maybe carry your own, sit in one corner, be making copies. Then this one, my own is 150. If you want 100 naira, go to Enugu in Zamfara. It's 150. In case you are in doubt, I'm telling you now that there is no sin or iniquity in it. I am permitting you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Go and do likewise. I hope you are getting my point. Now, apart from the fact that my own guiding principle is that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. Apart from that fact, I know, I have that one in mind, but I also remember where we came from. Are you getting my point? I remember Bishop Oyedepo's tape, The Gospel of Abundance. I listened to it at least 70 times, something between 70 and 100 or beyond. And then that single tape gave birth to, if you count the grandchildren down to the third generation, I'm sure there'll be more than 100. I listened to it so much. Somebody said, you appear good all the time. I said, it's because I'm good inside. And if you are good inside, it makes you good outside. And I believe in good things because good things are good. That's the first line of that tape. Anywhere you get it. If it doesn't have that first line, they didn't double complete. No, are you getting my point? No, those are the things I listen to those days. So when I talk, really, money has never been my problem. I don't mean that I have so much cash, it's draining on me. That's not the point. But I have never been afraid that tomorrow, peradventure, something will happen, I will be in lack and I will be poor. God forbid. That one died long ago. Are you getting my point? So when I utter, it's out of what fills the heart. So if I talk to money, come to me in the name of Jesus. I know they are gathering and they are running. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Do you follow my point? I said something in church on Wednesday, and I mean it absolutely. I said, you see, everything is in seasons, all right? There is a time to sow, there is a time to reap. I said, in part of my reaping season, let me listen to you guys, what will happen, and ladies too, all right? Tell your husbands, all right, that this will happen. One day, are you guys listening? Chukubiki, are you hearing? All of you, listen, Meka. One day it will be my birthday, and I will call you a week beforehand. I will call two people, and I say, my birthday present that I desire is an S600. All right, full effect. And I am telling you because it is my time to reap. I don't want everybody who has been blessed to contribute. I said, two people. If the first person says, sir, I will do it alone. I say, all right, wait. But the other guy, I've made up my mind, it's two people. So you, buy white, I will call him, you should buy the black one. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? Now, see, how did I come to the knowledge of this? It's just because the heart has contemplated. Do you understand my point? Listen, if somebody is going to give Kingdom World Ministries 1 billion naira to do the work of the kingdom, do you think the same person will not give Pastor Banky 100 million? Are you getting what I'm going to say? Listen, it cannot be changed. Do you follow what I'm going to say? I believe what I'm saying absolutely. As I'm saying it like this, all right? I told you about time and chance. The angels of time and chance, they have gone to go. Now, let me share something with you. I think it was on that CD. Pastor Kodi was sharing something, and I laughed to my wife, with my wife. I said, look at the way the Spirit of God works. You see, actually, listen to this. For you to know that this thing is deeply of the Spirit. Once, I was... Don't let me say that side. This really happened, but I won't tell you. But let me tell you the other side. You heard me say that I believe, and I know, and I have said it, and it will happen. That within a space of 24 months, all right, I don't know when it's going to start, but it's going to be shortly. Within the space of 24 months, 12 people are going to give 1 billion naira each to Kingdom World Ministry. I'm not saying that the work of the kingdom on the earth. Look, that's too small to do everything. It's just the one that I am presiding over, I'm talking about. All right? Are you getting my point? All right. Now, I said 12 within 24 months. Then I was into a message, and Pastor Foggy said something, and I laughed. If I wish I had his number, I would have called him and said, "Okay, I'm listening to you here. Let me share with you my own testimony." He said that one day they were praying, and God said to him that write down the name of 24 people who will give, that you know that if I gave them money, they will give 10 million naira each to the work that you are doing. And I will pass 100 million naira to them, each one of them. And then, of course, you know, he will write out of experience, not out of faith. You know, by faith. And he said, "No, this guy, I know him. You know, he put it down. When he said that, I went to the table. I just remember, I said, "My wife, listen to this again." We're in the car. And I listened to it. I said, "See, that shows you that it's nothing ingenious that I came up with. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to say. There's actually something that God poured." I told you, you can never outthink God. You can't. I said it's a spirit that God poured into the air, and that men who have imbibed God's spirit are tapping into it. And this, look, I'm saying this because I'm a preacher. Do you get my point? Now, everybody who is in his own field, maybe you're an architect, there are things that God has thrown into the realm of the spirit that you must stretch your hand and pick. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? And when your heart has contemplated and has become full of that thing, do you understand? Then words begin to drop from your mouth. That's actually what I'm talking about today. Listen, one of the things Satan will do is to try and shut you up in this life. Are you getting my point? That is why, no, I won't allow it to happen. Listen, as a young woman, that's when you start laying foundation. You know the way life works? Things overtake you. They don't let you decide. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They do what? They overtake you. When the time of fulfillment comes, they overtake you. I was reading the other day from Luke chapter 1. I realized that because of the faith of Elizabeth, when this man was going to start talking nonsense, Zacharias, they said, "Keep quiet until the word will be fulfilled, which will be fulfilled in its time." I don't know whether you're getting my point. That is, because of certain events, certain motions on the earth, an event will be fulfilled. Are you getting my point? And when that thing will be fulfilled, it will be because its time has now come. It doesn't discuss with the person in whose life it will be fulfilled anymore. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to say. That is, once you've sown your seed, then harvest time will come, and then life will just... He said the kingdom of God is like a seed that the farmer plants in the ground. Then he goes to sleep, and he wakes up in the morning and goes to sleep every day. He said the earth by what? Itself produces first the blade, then the air, the full grain in the air, then when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Listen, the time that things really depend on him is in the seed sowing season. Are you getting my point? What am I talking about, seed sowing season? Listen, it is now that the challenges of life will make you talk. Are you getting what I'm saying? So in life, statements keep coming up. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Because when God said, you know, we're talking about saying, God did what? He said. Now, with God, I told you that, which language did he say, use? We don't know. And I want to express something to you. It's not only by words that people say. They also talk by actions. Do you follow what I'm going to say here? So it's not just by words. It's many things put together. All right, that God said. A human being will say by words. He also talks by what? Actions. There are two accounts of the woman with the issue of blood. One says she said in her heart. Are you getting my point? But how do you know that she really said? The Bible said that she came in from behind through the press. You know what it means? Everybody is trying to touch Jesus Christ. You know? I was it this morning, I sat down and there was power failure. So when the power came back on, the decoder was on, CCTV, everything was on. So one channel just popped on. I don't even know which channel. But they were showing something. I saw, you know, stars, I think, movie stars coming out. And people were waiting with their pictures. And then they collect and sign. So I asked my wife, I said, please, this autograph, really, what do they really do with it? She said, they'll go and hang it somewhere that I met him once. I said, oh. I said, do people write anything on it? He said, they just sign. I said, that is all. I said, eh. I just wanted to be sure. That's what I was asking. Today morning, that's how some people were touching Jesus Christ. They'll go and hold the hand. I said, me too, I touched him. Jesus of Nazareth, see the hand. I touched him. You are getting the point I'm making? All kinds of people. There were those who were really sick, who had heard that other people got well. Everybody wanted to touch Jesus Christ. This woman, in her own weakened state, she also pressed him from behind. And then, this interesting part, she didn't try to touch his back or his hands or stop him. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Nothing like that. What did she do? She just touched the hem, the edge of his garment, and she let go. And instantly she was made well. And this is the interesting part. Jesus, you think people, Jesus just said, I perceive. No. Let me tell you what happened. Really, in reality, what happened was that he tried to take a step and the leg did not respond. So he paused. He wanted to move again. So he said, virtue, not even virtue, power, energy. I became weak suddenly. Somebody just drained my power. So he was waiting to, after you've run a race, you chill for a while and you gather some energy. So he was waiting to gently recuperate just for a few seconds. Meanwhile, he said, who did that? Now, what am I trying to say? Because she said with her mouth and then she said with her actions. She did not just say, because you can say with your mouth and not say with your actions. I told you that the Bible said that a double-minded man does not receive anything from the hands of the Lord. He doesn't receive anything. That is, he says one thing with his mouth, then his actions say another thing. What am I going to say? God said. It's not just the words. Alright? Because we don't know the language he spoke. You speak by many actions. The Bible said, day unto day utter speech. Without saying words. Are you getting my point? That is, they paint a picture. Their manner of life tells you something. You are following what I'm saying? So God said, it's not just the words. It's everything, actions that go with it. The way your life really cooperates with what you are saying. Listen, let me say this again. It's not the actions per se or the words per se that are the issue. It's the fact that they came out of a fullness of the heart. So it's as you are filling your heart with things that they begin to flow out of your mouth. That's why the story I told earlier. It wasn't that, this man, you are very bold. You're a loud talker. No, it's not. That is not it. What simply happened was that I had been infused with certain things. No, I told you the example last week. There was a time I found out that I was ill. I didn't know what it was until I found out it was chicken pox and I was angry. I didn't just start praying, in Jesus' name. I just took a tape that had fed my heart before. I sat down in front of it for 1 hour, 15 minutes thereabouts. And the word filled my heart again, all right, to the brim. And then it came out. And the virus said, this place is dangerous, it's risky. Let us go. Do you get my point? Listen, no man can say, I'm a great man of faith. That's not the point. If your heart is not filled with God's word, you are not a great man of faith. You can shout all you want, it means nothing. Now, talking about seat time. So this is the way it goes. Seat time is now. Oh, are you following my point? Listen, you may actually forget that you said something at a time. It's when it has been fulfilled, you will remember that these were the same things I said 10 years ago. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? That the situations in life right now, they are trying to bring out something out of your heart, making you say something. And this is a bad side. You talk and bad, it's a seed. You say it good, it's a seed. Whichever one you say, one day it will return to you. Are you getting my point? And don't forget, it's not just the words. It's that it came out of a heart that is full. That's why people can go to church. Everybody rise up to your feet, put up your hand. In Jesus' name, it's well with me today. In Jesus' name, my future is bright. They finish talking it as soon as they leave. You know the real words that matter. And your father calls you and says, oh boy, how far? Daddy, I don't know. This country is very hard. In fact, I don't know. A young man will just die like that in this country if he doesn't do something. Your friends gather. He said, man, nah, life hard though. Life hard. In fact, I have thought about it. How can one succeed in this country? You know our current president? In fact, you know the man didn't have a plan for office. Can you believe that? In short, we are finished. And go back to church. It is well. It is well. In Jesus' name, it is well. It is well. Do you follow my point? It's not those ones that somebody commands you to say. It's those ones that you speak because you have become persuaded. And I say you cannot be persuaded until you get what? Information. You can't be. Remember what I gave us an example. I don't know whether it was last Saturday or a few Saturdays ago. A friend of mine told me he wanted to make some decisions. I said, don't make those decisions yet. I said, wait. Let me send you some materials. When you have digested them and you have added them to the other pieces of information you have, then the decision will come together. Do you follow my point? It will come together. I say, if you decide now, you will decide on wrong premises. Are you getting my point? I remember once I was watching, I think it was on Discovery. They're talking about how spacecrafts get sent into places like the moon and all of that. Talking about how they do their detailed calculations and all of that. That, you see, merely getting maybe 0.001% of a figure wrong can make the difference between whether your spacecraft will crash land on the moon from a height of 2 kilometers to the moon's surface or land gently. Do you get my point? So they keep on researching, trying to get the laws of nature correctly before they launch the thing out into space. You are following the point I'm making here. That is, they keep on getting everything correctly. So somebody makes a decision when he doesn't have everything correct, he ends up crash landing. You are getting my point? So I told the young man, don't do it yet. Get all your information right. Because most of the information people use on earth to make decisions, they are very faulty. The dollar is the international, you know, still now, it's still the currency that everybody understands in the world. Okay? And some people think because of that, it will be like that forever. Now, you know, that doesn't make sense. It wasn't like that until just about 110, 15 years ago. You are getting my point? Now, before then, they were not there. Are you following what I'm going to say here? But then there's one thing that the Bible says abides forever. That is what? The Word of God. You are getting my point? Now, when you have soaked your heart in it, this is what I'm going to say. Then you begin to utter, and what you are doing actually is sowing seeds for the future. Now, let me not lose track of that. That's what I'm trying to get to. You speak words, you take actions, which are actually seeds for what? For tomorrow. Now, please, let me recommend that CD again. For those who came late, too bad. All right? I won't go by it. That one I said I preached on Wednesday. All right? Please, make sure you get that CD. Because I realized something, and I preached it in there, about this sowing seeds for the future. That when the master gave his servants, I think Luke chapter 19, when he gave them those amounts of money to go and trade till he comes back, they didn't understand that he was trying to make them rulers over cities. You know what they thought? They thought the master needed some extra money. But the man said, okay, take 1 mina, using a New American Standard Bible, trade with it. The man who multiplied it tenfold was made a ruler over 10 cities. What am I trying to say? What he was given now to do was the seed for his future. Listen, that's the way life is. That's just the principle of life. As you're walking every day, everything you are doing is what? Remember what I said, they are words. They are words. They are words. It's not just the statement from the mouth. As you utter with your mouth, your actions also, they also release a spiritual substance into the air. This is the point I'm making. When they will begin to return, both words and actions, most of the time you would have forgotten that was what you said. That's why, look, let nobody sow bad seeds into your life, reject it. You remember my best example? Once I took a stick and I was walking, you know, just playing in the house. I put the stick down. I took one step, put the stick down, took another step. And somebody nearby said, duck at 60. You hear what I said? 60 years old. Me. Man of God, filled with the word of God, bent at the age of 60. There was no quarrel, though. I wasn't even fighting the lady. I just carried the same stick, pointed it at her, I said, he satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. I will never bend. Don't cry that rubbish joke with me. Because you saw me carry stick. Now I throw the stick straight in back, lest we give a wrong impression. I mean, shortly after that, was it after or before? I watched Frank Olise intervene a man who said he was 90 years old. 90. And the man, he says, this man, you know what? The man said he fought in the Second World War. How do you know when you were born? He said it was when that his mother told him that he was born during the influenza epidemic of 1908 or 1918, something like that. Those of you know history very well. Is it 1908? 1918. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said it was before then, that he was born. They were doing Armed Forces Remembrance Day. And he was saying that, why are you remembering those who have died? What about those of us who are alive and you have forgotten us? He drilled Abikeda Biri that day. Then she was a reporter. She's in the house now. She went back. Uh-huh. Then she was a reporter for Newsline. This is how the man was marching. And somebody is saying to me, Doc at 60. Abba. Which kind of nonsense be that? Me bend at 60 with all this thing I've been chopping. I just turned to the lady, I said, he satisfies my mouth with good things. Therefore, my youth is renewed as the eagles. One day I was making a statement once in the office also. I was just gist, you know the way you just talk and gist with your friends. I said, I'm going to have, maybe I said 4, 5, 6, 7 or something children. And the guy laughed, you know, he said, you have never heard of, is it primary, he said, or secondary infertility. We're all doctors, you understand? In my mind, bad joke. I said, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward, and blessed is everyone that has a quiver full of them. I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Whether you understand it or not is your personal problem. I've made my statement. What kind of nonsense joke is that? I said one day I walked to a bookshop in this Enugu. I married in 99, all right? I came into Enugu the following, I married December 99. This was the year 2000. I didn't have a child yet. I went to a bookshop and I saw a book. Childless but not less. Understanding how to live with infertility. I said, God forbid, bat, agent of Satan. I dropped the book, waka gone. I said, hey, don't give me excuse for Satan. You know what they call excuse for Satan? You and Satan will agree on why your life shouldn't be straight. Why everything about you should be crooked. They will explain, it's not your fault, it's your grandfather. I said, my grandfather has no problem. You want to know my grandfather's name? His name is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has no problem. He said, he's a gene, he's inherited. He said, he was born not after the will of flesh, but after the spirit. He said, even though our outward man perishes, he said, yet from inside it is renewed day by day. What nonsense are you telling me? He said, if the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit will renew, will give life to your mortal body. If you read the normal Bible, it says, though the body be dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, though the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. Listen, Satan can do all he wants. I won't change my thoughts. I won't change my words. Do you know why? When those words begin to defend you, there are the times you can't talk. Are you getting my point? When they will rise up in your defense, at such times you will not have a mouth to say anything. I say in life, they see time. That's how authority is exercised. Please listen to that tip, because the thing is that, I won't preach the message now. I realize that God gives you the opportunity to show that you know how to use what he has given you. Are you getting what I want to say? Then he gives you the opportunity, all right, to use it in a bigger fashion. What am I trying to say? What are the little things you talk? Listen, stop talking about things that have no bearing to your system. I believe Rwanda will be evangelized. Listen, honestly, you know, I don't know anything about the evangelism of Rwanda. And Pastor Banker, you said they won't be evangelized. I said it is not my own problem. There is one pastor, Banky Z, somewhere there, who is preaching for the evangelism of Rwanda. Now, it is possible that it is me that will evangelize Rwanda. Are you getting my point? But, God didn't say, exercise yourself on the evangelism of Rwanda. He said, exercise yourself on the way of success, period. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That is, the one you are teaching here, exercise yourself in it. So if I'm going to pray, I pray for venue, I pray for money, I pray for equipment, I pray, are you following my point? I pray for things that God has committed into my hands, and I prophesy upon them and make sure they succeed. I don't pray for all the children in third world. No, I don't. I pray for Akinolu David, Olubenga Dani. Some my children, all right? I pray for Omena Deborah. I pray for my cousins, my friends' children. Are you following my point? Anything beyond the one I can see, I don't pray about them. Ah, Pastor Banky. Listen, the reason is simple. I know those ones don't have effect. What God gives me one now, all right? I pray for people that I know. If you have children, I'll pray for your children. Do you get what I'm saying? I pray for you here. No, really, literally, I mean what I'm saying. I don't pray for every Christian in the world. I don't. I pray especially for those, most importantly, who listen to the words that I preach. You know why? Because that is what I can carry. Now, listen, I'm coming to something. That's like God giving you a mina. Do business with this until I come. Are you getting my point? So if God said preach to 50 people and I preach to them hard, I traveled great distance to make sure I'm there to preach to them. I pray for them, and then as they are prospering, God will say, fine. Oh boy, you try. I say, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Say, now, you thought that's where we're going. He said, great mistake. That was not where we're going. Wanted to see whether you would do that one effectively. He said, look around. Then they opened the curtain. He said, you thought you were preaching to 50 and praying for 50. Now, see 5 billion listening. Do you understand my point? At that time, the results, that's what I'm telling you about sowing the right seeds. It has now gone beyond you. Are you getting my point? You don't have to step into China. People will gather together in China and put you on their satellites everywhere. How many of you heard of Kenneth Hagin? I don't know, but last I knew, he had only been to two other countries in his life apart from the United States. And those two countries were Canada and South Africa. Maybe he went to other countries afterwards. But by that time, he was training every young man in Nigerian campuses. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make here? That is, God gives you something, exercise your energy on that thing. And stop, you know, stop diffusing your spiritual energy. Do you follow the point I'm making? What I'm saying, is it making sense to you? I'm saying that, look, God gives you a responsibility. Why I mentioned that one is that. So, you see, don't just use words anyhow. What I'm trying to say, there are things that are your responsibility. Primarily, exercise your authority on them. Speak words positively about them. Get the plan of God that you can about those things and speak about them. Lay the problem. Now, I brought that one out, you're right, to bring out an issue. That those are the ways actually that you prove yourself faithful before God, and then God now imposes upon you a greater responsibility. Get it? It's on that CD. I preach that in on that CD. I don't want to go by it again. So I was making a statement. Let me just conclude it. Don't forget, it's so important that your words, your actions, those are the most important things that you use to speak, and those are seeds that you are sowing, and that when the results of those things will come back to you, listen, you may even have forgotten that you said some things. Are you getting my point? You may even have forgotten that you took some actions. But right now, God will instruct you, and life will demand of you to make statements and to take actions. The statements and actions that you release based upon the demand that life makes of you are the seeds you are sowing towards your tomorrow. Are you getting the point? That's why I was giving that example of whether you pray for those who are in Rwanda, and that's not the point. There are situations that make a demand from your mouth that you say something. You get my point? Listen, don't let people make you use your mouth to talk anything against yourself, because, you see, these things come back. Every time in life, Satan presents words. That's why I was giving an example. He presents reasons for you to doubt. He tries to explain to you why your life shouldn't turn out well. And once you start agreeing and explaining along with the devil about it, then listen, you know the interesting part? Don't worry, it's a seed. He collects it, he keeps it. The fruit is coming back in 15 years' time. It's coming back in 20 years' time. And then they begin to endure. You don't know, you see the man at 65 is a struggler. His decisions were made when he was 25, 26, 27. Do you follow the point I'm making? Now, please, let me end with something. I just want to summarize that. Now, let's get back to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Did I say 11? Sorry, back to 9. Verse 11. Say, I again saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the warriors, and neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favor to men of ability. For time and chance overtake them all. Now, please, what I just want to emphasize here again, for those of us who have heard me say, I hope you don't miss the radio broadcast. I've been speaking a lot about time and chance. All right? I just want to say something about it, and then I close this series on the law of faith. We can't finish speaking on the law of faith. All right? Let me just end it here. He said, time and chance overtake them all. Please notice that, and then again, go back to Isaiah chapter 34. From verse 16, it says, seek from the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these will be missing. None will lack its mate. For his mouth has commanded, and his spirit has gathered them. Now, please notice that what he was saying, if you read earlier in the previous verses, he was explaining that you will see all kinds of creatures in these cities that are going to be destroyed. Great cities now, 45 cities they were, but when I finish destroying them, you will find things that their natural habitat is not even supposed to be here. Are you getting my point? It's like saying that you will find cactus growing all over Enugu. You know what they call cactus? Cactus is a desert plant. You don't expect it to grow widely. You may find a few, but Enugu is quite tropical rainforest. I don't think you'll get it growing around here. So God now says that by the time I finish, there will be nowhere to step on the land. Say why? Because you will find cactus growing everywhere. He says, look, seek from the book of the Lord and read. If you see God say anything like that, he said, not one of it will fail. That everything will happen exactly as God has said it. And he said, this is the reason. He said, for his mouth has commanded and his spirit has gathered. That is, anytime the mouth of God commands something, his spirit always goes forth to do what? Gather them. Please, I want you to notice something. Because what happens is that people have the habit of asking, how shall these things be? Are you getting my point? How shall these things be? Seeing that it is not in keeping with the natural order of things. How shall these things be? That's what I want to just use this one to dispel. Because if you keep on saying, how shall these things be? You are expecting God to work according to the order that you understand. Are you following the point I'm trying to make? But it doesn't always work. Therefore, your faith will be weakened. Listen, if we say, declare from your mouth what you believe God is going to do, we are not saying that God will explain to you how he's going to do it. And that's the way, this is the way the things of God are. It is only after they have been done, after God will have finished doing them, you will now look back and say, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. But while they are doing it, you can't understand it. Do you understand the point I'm making? There is no how you would have explained to Joseph that this is your path to victory in life. One, be a loved son, and then your brothers, when they are selling into slavery, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. It will be okay. It will be okay. Don't worry, you will soon be bought out of slavery and become a chief slave in the house of Potiphar. Even when the man is rejoicing, say, well, along the line, Mrs. Potiphar is not a good woman. No. You may have to go to jail. No, none of it will be explained. Listen, as each event was happening, Joseph was also wondering what was going on. Are you getting my point? It was only after everything had been solved. It was not even the first day Pharaoh called him to be prime minister. It was the day his brothers arrived and they were repentant and they were begging that he looked back and said, they meant it for evil. But God meant it for what? For good. What am I trying to explain? The things of God are not easy to explain ahead of time. After I finished preaching that message on Wednesday, I realized suddenly, okay, that everything I have said, prophesied about my life, are you following me? And you've heard me say many things. They are just the things that God has allowed me to see and has commanded me to speak about. The real things he wants to do with you on earth, you will not find out until they start getting done. Do you follow the point I'm making? That is, look, God says, just give me the words. Once they are the words of God, what happens is that the Spirit of God now goes out and then gathers them. You are getting the point? Listen, this is so important people understand. You will not be able to recognize what your life will be like in 20 years' time when you look back at it. Like, at that time, you look back at it and say, no, I could not have prophesied or predicted it. Are you following my point? That it has gone beyond what I ever imagined. Listen, if it doesn't go beyond that, God has really not blessed you yet. You are still on the path to blessing. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Listen, let me close with this. As Christians, you must really, literally expect the unexpectable. Did you hear what I said? That the things that men can't expect. One day I heard a man preach. He said, you know, God can't surprise me. You know, God can't surprise me. And what he was trying to say, I understood, was that he expects so much from God now that there's nothing that God can do that will shock him. I said in my heart, you don't know him yet. That is, you don't know God yet. Do you get my point? I believe very strongly that God can surprise people. And in fact, God intends to surprise people. The things that you are seeing as visions and prophesying about today, they are smaller than the things that God really wants to use you to do on the earth. In fact, this is the interesting part. You know, oh God, I have so many things to say about that. Just to encourage people's hearts. You'll be amazed. Do you know God can lead you, in quotes, on a wild goose chase? You know what they call a red herring chase? Deflect you in the wrong place. You'll be chasing something that really doesn't exist. But, is the aggressiveness with which you chase that thing that will determine whether he will place you in the place where he really wants you to be. There are people who have said, God, this is my ministry. Maybe you were in school. I just said this is a funny joke. Maybe you were in school. You said, like, God, I feel so called to the ministry of singing, you know. I feel like I'm a minstrel before God. And why? You have a good voice. And you could lead songs in school. Do you get my point? Now, no, you know the interesting thing? You don't think God will come and correct you. My daughter, or my son, that is not your calling in life. No, no. Since that's what you are passionate about, he said, good. While you are learning to sing, you will learn a lot of things. As you save your money to buy your first keyboard, God is checking how serious you are about the talent, you know what I mean, he has given. Don't forget those men that God gave one mina each, Luke chapter 19, and said, go and do business till I come. The question is this, was the master interested in the money they were going to make primarily? No. No. The man went to take cities. Do you get my point? He went to do what? Take cities. He was looking for those that will reign over those cities for him. Therefore, he gave them money and said, okay, do business until I get back. Do you understand my point? So they were busy doing business. And the man said, that was not exactly what I wanted, but let me see how you did it. The guy who did it well, he made him a ruler over cities. What am I trying to say? You must understand that God is going to do something in your life beyond that which you have ever imagined. Are you getting my point? Have you learned anything today?